Tell me the story of Jesus, sweetest that ever was heard. Amen. Amen. That God so loved that he sent his son to be our Lord and our Savior. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. We're so glad that you're here this morning with us at Barbie's Grove. We pray that God will bless you as we spend time together. Anyone that might be in the parking lot or later listening on the website, we welcome you. It's good. I hope you had a great Christmas and celebrated Jesus. The presents are nice. The food is usually good. But celebrating Jesus is the best of all. Now, before I pray, I want to introduce you to somebody. You remember last year after Hurricane Helene went through, I wrote a newsletter about a little girl named Lucy. She lives in Wisconsin, and her grandma was up visiting, and she heard them talking about everything, and they went in and they found her. She divided her toys into two piles, and she wanted grandma to take one pile back and give it to some little girl in North Carolina that had lost her toys. And then not long ago, she was going to have surgery for tubes in her ears, I think it was. And she said, "We're not leaving the house, not leaving the driveway till we pray. We got to talk to Jesus about this." And then when they got in the waiting room there in the clinic where they're doing the surgery, she wanted to pray again. So I want you to meet Lucy. She was visiting her grandma. There's her picture. I don't know who the fat old guy with her is, but that is Lucy. She was a little bit shy at first, but I think she decided I was one of the good guys, and she came and climbed up my lap, and we had a delightful, delightful little girl, and she loves Jesus. You don't have to be old to love Jesus. She already loves Jesus and wants to talk about Jesus, and so that's Lucy. That's at her grandma's house there, up close to Canton, North Carolina. All right, may we pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much. Lord, we look at that babe in the manger, and then we look at the picture on the cross. But then, Lord, we look at the empty tomb. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And then, Father, I'm reminded that Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Father, I thank you for all the little children, like Lucy, who love Jesus. Lord, may we encourage them. May we help them to grow. May their love for Jesus be more strong day after day, year after year. Father, we thank you that we could come here today and worship. Thank you for each person that's here, each one that's a member, each one that's a visitor. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will minister to every need, that you'll bring glory to yourself. And Lord, that you'll draw us ever closer to one another and to our Savior. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you have a great one. Hope we have a great one. As usual, we're going to sing a hymn, not hymn from the hymnal, but we're going to sing a hymn, one that we've been learning, and it's called "Change My Heart, O God." And this one time, we're going to sing one more time with vocal accompaniment. But after that, we're going to sing it without it next time we do it. So let's all stand together and sing "Change My Heart, O God."
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh.
You remain standing for prayer, please. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Thank you. And again, I've got some announcements I want to share with you at this time. Today, at the end of service today, there will be a call conference and for two items of business that has been announced previously. And there will be a call conference for that. And also, there will be a love offering that will be taken at the end of that, end of the day, end of the service today. There'll be an usher at the front and a fresh at the back. And if you, this love offering is for Pastor Ed for Christmas. And so show him again how much we appreciate him. And we need to do that. Okay. Wednesday night, there'll be no services because we will have dinner and a movie. And dinner and movie will be here for New Year's Eve. And it starts at 6:30. I think you see a 5 o'clock in your bulletin. Change that to 6:30 start time. And we'll have dinner provided. when I say dinner, we're going to be, it's going to be one of a quick dinner. It's going to be pizza. Everybody do about it quick. There's nothing wrong with pizza and all the trimmings that go with it. Right, Jeff?
That's it.
Yeah, so you come for that. There'll be some nice, there'll be some tea and some soft drinks as well. But come and let's enjoy the movie together. I don't think you've picked the movie yet, have you, Jeff?
Not yet. We're looking at possibly the Nativity. I don't know if anybody's seen that.
Okay, all right.
And there's some others we're looking at.
Okay, all right. All right, let's remember also the Lottie Moon. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is still going on. It's still in effect. And so let's keep that in your mind as we go forward. Let's see. Brenda, when will it end? When is it ended?
Today's
the last day today. Okay. Okay. So today is the last day for Lottie Moon. So if you haven't done it, you put your you need to do it today. Okay? Call conference I've already handled with you. New Year's Eve dinner and a movie, I've handled that as well. Any other announcements that I may have overlooked? Okay. Then we'll go to our prayer request. I had a couple this morning in Sunday school that I want to share with you now. The Randy Clay family and Doug Burgess, who was a previous member here for a long, long time. Doug is having another surgery on the foot, and they hope now they'll be able to get him back to normal again. So he's had quite a battle. A couple falls and some broken bones, and Doug's had quite a battle. So let's keep him in our prayers. Are there others now that we need to bring before the Lord? Yes.
And the family of Gene Wall.
Gene
Wall. Yeah.
Okay, are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be able to come to you in prayer this morning. And as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Lord, it's just good to be able to talk to you. Just to talk to you, Lord, and ask you for things, but also, but before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for these people who are here today, Lord. They prioritize their time to be here, and we thank you for that. We thank you for our visitors here today, Lord. They are indeed our special guests. And we thank you for them. And then, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, we want to bring to your up, Lord, petitions to you for the Randy Clay family. We pray for Doug Burgess and his surgery for the foot. We pray for the Gene Wall family. And, Lord, we lift up our pastor to you, Lord. We thank you for him and his labors here in this field. And, Lord, we ask you bless him today as he comes forward and as he gives us the message of today. We pray for him. We ask, Lord, that we would have a safe and prosperous new year. Prosperous in a lot of ways, Lord, not only financially. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, for good health. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to be good witnesses for you. And we pray, Lord, for new souls to be saved. And these blessings, Lord, I lift up in your name, the blessed Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to step over here. Pastor doesn't do this often, but when he does, he asks for a song. I say, yes, sir. We'll do it. And I said, yes, sir, before I realized that I never sung this song before. Solo. I know the song.
It'd still be better than if I sung it.
Amen. Amen. So I tried a couple times. The name of the song is The Love of God, and I know you know it. You know the tune of it. And Beverly Shea made this song so popular and so well received. But I realized that when I started looking for it in a book, I couldn't find it nowhere. So I called the person that I normally call when I'm in trouble, when it, musically wise. I called Brenda. I said, Brenda, do you have the words and the music to The Love of God? I can't find it. She said, yeah, I'll get it for you. And I knew she would. This morning I got here and I said, Brenda, I can't find the book that you said. She said, that's okay. I got the words for you and I got the music for you. And not only that, I got it in big letters so you could see better. God bless you, Brandon. That's the kind of person she is. She knows by now that I don't read as close. I have to read closer to the page or bigger print. What? But this song is a beautiful song. And pray for me as I sing it for the first time. I never sang it, but as my old granddad used to say, I'm a fixin' to. So here we go. Brenda, the love of God.
Appreciate it. that song, we had a fellow at West Albemarle when I was growing up, and I don't remember the first time I heard him sing that, but he had two songs. I mean, he sang others, but I don't remember but two of them. One of them, The Love of God. The other one was The Great Judgment Morning. You familiar with that one? The Great Judgment Morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. The nations were gathered before the white throne. And then eventually it says, oh, what a weeping and wailing. Oh, what a gnashing of teeth. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. And I'd sit back there and he'd sing those two songs and I'd just be thrilled. And I appreciate Brother Leonard singing that. Now, if you notice, Brenda started off praying about this old story of God's love. And we sang, create in me a clean heart, and make me like you, Lord. You're the potter, I'm the clay. We just sang about the love of God. The newsletter I wrote this week was about the love of God, if you read it. Yep. If you didn't, go back and read it. Be sure you do. If you did read it, go back and read it again. It'll bless you. Because what I want to talk about this morning is from the same passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And you can't say everything in a page or a page and a half in a newsletter. And so I want to amplify what I said. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, Paul says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul says, I'm praying for you folks that your love will grow. Abound means to run over, to be more than enough, to have plenty. He says, I pray that your love may abound. Now, there's three ways we can take that. One, we need to understand the love of God for us. If you grew up perhaps with a harsh dad that beat you and things like that, you may have had a hard time understanding the love of God when we talk about God the Father. And like I did, I grew up thinking, you know, God's just sitting on his throne waiting to zap me with a broken leg or something if I did wrong. Took me a long time to learn, no, God loves me. God's not out to get me. God's not out to make trouble for me. God loves me. We need to grow in the love of God. We need to grow in our love for him so that we love him with all of our being. That we don't have any hidden rooms. We don't have any hidden spaces in our lives where we don't let God's love in. And then we need to grow in our love, which is what I wrote about for the newsletter. Our love relationship so that we become more like Jesus. So that the love that's in us is real in the way we treat one another. That's the kind of love that we need to have. Now, what difference does it make whether or not you grow in love? Paul tells here some of the things that make a difference when we're growing in love. She says, when your love abounds, you'll have knowledge, judgment. You'll be able to prove things that are excellent. You'll be sincere and without offense when Jesus comes. You'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which you get through Jesus, and it will bring glory and honor to God. Paul is saying, listen, you'll have some rich spiritual insight. You'll have knowledge that others won't have. You'll have discernment. You'll understand God's reality in a situation. You'll understand how God sees it. You'll be able to prove those things that are right and excellent. In other words, you'll make the choices that please God because you're choosing from the knowledge and insight that he's given you. You'll be filled with fruits of righteousness. You know, Christianity is more than thou shalt not. Some of us grew up with about all we heard was, you'll not do this, you'll not do this, you'll not do this, you'll not do that, and you'll not do the other. Christianity is more than that. Christianity is a love relationship with the Lord that comes out in our love relationship with one another. Christianity is knowing that the Lord is pleased with us. How did Jesus put it? He didn't say when we got into glory, well, you stupid sinner, come on in. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I like that a lot better. I like that a lot better. That one day I will hear the Lord Jesus say, welcome home. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. And you will as well. We'll hear God say to us, come in. We'll become more like Jesus all the time. As I said in the newsletter, you can learn some Bible just by study, but you only learn spiritual discernment by learning to walk with love. The Pharisees and scribes of the day of Jesus, they knew their Bible, their Old Testament Bible, but they were bigoted, they were prejudiced, they were full of hate. And they didn't recognize Jesus when he's standing right before them. Oh, they knew him as a person, but they didn't recognize he was the Messiah. But those who learned to love Jesus recognized him for who he was. And Paul says, I pray that your love may grow and you grow and grow, and your thoughts and your deeds and your actions will be approved of God. And when Jesus comes, he's going to be excited about welcoming you home, or when you leave before he comes. You know, the Bible's just full of examples of people that learned to walk in love and learned with special insight. Special insight. And I thought of a bunch, and then as I keep thinking about it, I think of more. But you think about back very early in the book of Genesis. Abel somehow had wisdom from God to offer a blood sacrifice of the best of his animals. Cain, his brother, didn't offer a blood sacrifice. He didn't get it. And the implication is that even though he brought wheat or corn or barley or something like that, he didn't even bring his best stuff. He brought some of the worst. Now, one had spiritual insight, the other one didn't. I don't know how many people were living at the time of Noah, but only one man heard from God and built an ark. How many thousands of other people never got the message? I can't help but think if there was somebody that lived in Noah's community that had that understanding and said, went to Noah and said, I know God's going to destroy this place. Can we fix a little corner up here somewhere on this ark for my family? And I'll help you build. I think Noah would have done that. Or if there was somebody that lived a few hundred miles away, remember, no phones, no internet, no TV, and somebody several hundred miles away suddenly had a revelation from God, hey, there's a flood coming. And he built his own ark. Now, he wouldn't have needed one as big as Noah's because he didn't have all the animals. All he'd have needed was a few chickens and a couple of milk goats, and he'd have been good to go. But nobody but one heard from God. Isn't that interesting? You think about the children of Israel. How does a group of ex-slaves who were brick makers take a city like Jericho? Somebody must have said, man, look at those walls. Where are we going to get enough wood to make a ladders? And the first guys up those ladders probably aren't going to live long. That's one way to do it. Somebody else may have said, well, maybe if we could disguise several of our best warriors and let them sneak in during the day when the gates of the city are open and they can hide out somewhere, and then after they close the gates, maybe they'll kill the people that are guarding the gate and open them up, and we can have a bunch of our soldiers come in, and tomorrow morning we can attack them. No, Joshua heard from God. God said, just march around, march around, march around silently, and then march around and shout and blow the trumpet, and the walls will fall down. Whoever thought about defeating a walled city like that? A man heard from God. The story that scripture that I shared last week, where the enemy king kept trying to attack the king of Israel. And every time he showed up, the king of Israel outwitted him, and the enemy king finally thought, we got a traitor in my house. And they said, no, there's a prophet of God that tells the king even the things you say in your bedchamber. Insight from God. You think about the Israelite king facing three enemy armies, and they get together and they fast and they pray and they seek the will of God, and God says, send the choir out first. That always, you know, how many dropped out of the choir when they said, the soldiers will be back here, you go first to face the enemy. And yet, when they did it God's way, three enemy armies turned on themselves, and after they killed everything, all Israel had to do was just go in and just pick up all the goodies that they wanted. Insight to hear from God. What about Joseph hearing from God and saying, you better get baby Jesus out of town, get him down to Egypt. Herod's going to kill all the kids. He heard from God and he obeyed. What about Philip? Preaching a revival in Samaria, and yet God says, go down to the road that leads to Gaza. And there he met an Ethiopian, led him to Jesus, baptized him, and he started the Ethiopian church that still exists today. Ananias, hearing from God, and going and laying hands on Saul, and Saul being healed, baptized, became a missionary of God that we know as the Apostle Paul. What about the Apostle Peter going to Cornelius' house? I don't go in with Gentiles, and yet he did because God told him to. And as a result, we non-Jews are a part of the family of God. The Bible is just full of examples of God opening the door through divine revelation, divine wisdom, to those who are walking with him. There were multitudes of other people that didn't get it, but somebody did. And I imagine some of you, from time to time, you've been given special insight and maybe didn't even realize it. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever had a problem you couldn't solve? there's just no way out. And then all of a sudden you thought, let's try this. And it worked. Right out of the, quote, out of the blue, you had a solution. God gave it to you. How many of you ever went through a situation that turned out bad, and but you were spared? And anybody ever say, man, I dodged a bullet that time? You see, what was available to these guys in the Bible, that which Paul prayed for those people in Philippi, is for us. God's no respecter of persons. God wants to do for you and me exactly what he did for them. That if we want to learn to walk in love, give up our hatreds, give up our prejudice, give up our seeking for revenge, give up our bad attitudes, and learn to grow and be more and more loving like the Lord Jesus, God will reveal many, many things to us in many areas. Now, I'm going to give you four illustrations. Three of them are me, and one of them I heard as a testimony this week. You know, one of the areas of, that God can bless you is financially. I've been taking a blood pressure pill for a while, and I was taking it when I was living in Oklahoma, and I was going to a national pharmacy chain. So when we moved back here to Albemarle, I just switched to that same pharmacy chain. Every quarter, $120. Four times 120 is $480. Well, about 5 years ago, I felt impressed to change pharmacies. So I changed pharmacies. Time for that medicine to be refilled. I got my credit card out because I'm planning on, you know, spending $100 and some. They say, that'll be $7.20. I said, do what? Did I hear you? $7.20? Yeah. How many pills in that bottle? Three? Four? No, it's 90-day supply just like normal. $7. Well, four times 7.20 is what, 28.80? That's versus 4.80. I'm saving $450 a year. I'll take that any day. That's God blessing me financially. God can bless you physically. The testimony I heard this week was guy said, you know, he'd moved to a new town. There was a church he was interested in. He didn't know anybody at that church, but he saw that they were having a prayer meeting, so he goes to the prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting's over, he goes to the bathroom, and he notices there's something wrong with his arm and hand. It looks pretty bad, and he starts thinking, got to find an ER, fill out the paperwork. Who knows how long I'll have to wait, and who knows how much it's going to cost. And he's in distress. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, go back in the prayer room and find, and he names the lady's name. Well, he didn't know anybody in the prayer room, so he goes in and he says, is anybody here named? And he named the lady's name. Lady comes up. She says, oh, you got so-and-so. Who are you? I'm a doctor. And I didn't understand whether she prayed for him and he got healed, or whether she prescribed the medicine, or whether she told him it'll go away in 3 or 4 days or whatever. He didn't know anybody, but the Holy Spirit says, go back in there and ask for somebody by a certain name. That's God. I talked about dodging a bullet. Practically everybody here, maybe not all of you, but practically everybody here, knew my wife Pamela. She was as beautiful inside as she was outside. Loved Jesus with all of her heart. She could sing, she could teach, and I had friends that told me she preached better than me. And for some reason, she loved me. I still haven't figured that one out yet. But before I ever met her, and I think now it was the devil, tried to steer me in another direction. There was a high school classmate. She's a preacher's daughter. And, you know, when I maybe 3 or 4 years before Pam and I connected, kept getting, you need to date her. You need to date her. I mean, she grew up in a preacher's family. She'll make a great wife for a preacher. But I never could feel it, and I never asked her for a date. I dodged a bullet. Because right after we graduated, she became a drug addict and died prematurely. That would have been devastating to me as a minister to have had a wife that was a drug addict. Instead, I had this sweet, godly lady. You know, that's God dividing a relationship. God can give you a leading as you minister. I'm thinking about a night when I'd been out visiting. It was getting late. I was about 200 yards from my driveway. And suddenly I just sort of felt myself turning up a side road that was dead end. I had about 10 church members that live up there. And I get up there and I pull into a certain driveway. And the lady of the house came out on the porch. Preacher, how'd you know I needed you tonight? Well, I didn't know you needed me tonight, but the Lord did. She just got off the phone finding out somebody close to her had died. She needed comfort. She needed counseling. She needed prayer. The Holy Spirit knew that, but I didn't. You see, and I'm no special, more special than you are. God, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. But God can bless you. That's what Paul's saying. I pray that you will grow in your love walk. And I pray that as you grow in your love walk, God will reveal things to you that will bless you and will be a blessing to others. And that when you stand before the Lord at the end of your life, He will be pleased. And it's amazing to think, God, love is so great. But He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. How did the song say? Goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell. How measureless and kind is God's love for us. Amen. And I pray for you the same things I pray for, that Paul prayed for. And not only you, but myself, the same things that Paul prayed for his friends in Philippi, that our love may grow in order that our insight might grow and our effectiveness as ministers, as people of God, and we might have that wisdom that the world doesn't have. It's for you. It's God's gift for you. We'll sing a verse of an invitation. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, would you come? If there's somebody that needs to come to the altar, would you come? And then after we sing, we'll be seated again for our business conference.
Stand, please.
Just as I am.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace, joy, happiness, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.